Inner healing is a worldwide community of people who believe healing comes from the inside, as well as all the answers needed to live a happy, healthy life. As such, this is the Inner Healers Radio, an online talk show on alternative medicine to provide life guidance and help people connect through emotion with their natural inner state of health. With this radio and the help of all our guests and followers, we hope to create a space for sharing our lives online. Listen to your favorite spiritual and master teachers, authors, psychologists, channelers, healers, psychics, music therapists, and more. My name is Luciana Stiglich. I'm the founder of Inner Healers, and I will be your host in this adventure. May you allow yourself to enjoy it. Hello, everybody. Welcome to our Inner Healers Radio. Our topic for today is solar eclipses influence on the unconscious. The Pisces new moon solar eclipse, which happened on February 26th, is conjunct Neptune, Pisces' ruling planet, with the South Node and Mercury nearby in Pisces. A major ending was upon us to clear the way for a new beginning. So you have to look to the house where the eclipse falls in your chart for clues to what this might mean to you. In which area of your life has it become undeniable that there is no turning back? What is that final leap of faith you need to take to set things right for yourself, others, or the world at large? Since Pisces rules both dreams and illusions, we need to get real about where we're at, both individually and collectively. If you've been in denial, hoping to be rescued by those in charge, or failing to follow through on your dreams, it's time to face the truth. Yes, it's scary to cut your losses and or stride bravely forward without an apparent safety net. But this eclipse demands change. Because it's the last of the series, it represents the final death knell of something very old that's been holding all of us back. Yet in your haste to make a change, take care not to act rashly or in anger. When Mars gangs up with Uranus, as it does on the day of the eclipse, there's a strong potential for breakthroughs or breakdowns. Our very special guest for today is Simone Butler. She is ruled by the moon and has lived its mysteries all her life. Her latest book, Moon Power, Lunar Rituals for Connecting with Your Inner Goddess, will be published in June 2017 by Fair Winds Press. As a professional astrologer since 1985, Simone lectures and writes extensively on astrology and the art. She has written a great deal for The Star Scroll, The Mountain Astrologer, and Tarot.com. Her first book was Astro Feng Shui, Making Magic in Your Home and Life. She lives in San Diego with her two cats, and today she's here with us to talk about how solar eclipses influence our unconscious. Hello, Simone.
Hi, Luciana.
Hello, dear. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
So for those of our listeners who might be listening to you for the first time through our Inner Healers Radio, can you please tell them a bit about yourself and your work?
Sure. Well, I've been an astrologer for many years, and it's not a profession I ever chose consciously. It sort of chose me. I've been a journalist my whole life. I used to be a fashion editor, and I was living in Los Angeles in the early 80s, and a friend asked me to take an astrology class with her, and I thought, oh, that sounds like fun. So that's what I did, and I went in with a skeptical attitude to see whether or not it actually worked. And the more I started learning and looking at people's charts, I was hooked. I was literally obsessed. For about 5 years, I did almost nothing but study astrology and go to workshops and read charts and books. And then people started asking me to read their charts. And the rest is history.
March 2005 was a turbulent time in your life. You were struggling to find your footing in your business, casting about in vain for the topic of your next book, and the loss of a treasured relationship had you unmoored. Could you tell our listeners about how this ignited a two-year period of groping your way forward, trying to find your place in the world, and how does having Pisces eclipses in your 11th house of goals, friendships, and community punctuated this?
Well, actually, that was March of 2015, not of 2005. And so that was just about 2 years ago that we had the Pisces solar eclipse. And then we had another one around the same time in 2016. And now we had this final one in that particular series on the 26th of February. So it's important, if you understand anything about astrology, to look at your personal natal chart, the map of the heavens on the day that you were born, to see where these eclipses might fall and what might be activated. Maybe you have a planet or a very important angle that's right around the degree of the eclipse. And so that was the case for me. And I want to say, though, that eclipses, for those that are new to them, actually are part of a much larger cycle called a Saros cycle. That's Saros. And eclipses actually run in families. And these families can date back as much as 1,000 years. So what I'm talking about when I say that this particular eclipse was the end of a cycle, I'm not saying it was the end of a 1,000-year cycle. Just in the short term, the Pisces eclipses that began in March of 2015 came to a conclusion at what we call the South Node eclipse of February 26th. Now, South Node is an astrological term. It has to do with the points where the moon's orbit intersects the plane of the ecliptic or the apparent path of the sun. And don't worry, there won't be a test at the end of this. You don't have to memorize that. But the nodes are very, very important points. They have to do with the past and the future in your chart. South Node being the past, as in what's comfortable and natural to you, and then the North Node being more the future that calls you but also perhaps makes you feel insecure because it's something new that on a soul level you're not familiar with. So the March 2015 eclipse, as you say, was a time for me that in which I was really struggling to identify what my goals were and how to get ahead with my business and with also my community and relationship to it, and also my personal life, because the 11th house where that eclipse fell for me is the area of friendships. It's our ties to others in general, and also personal ties. And I was struggling. I was. It kind of feels Pisces eclipses are feel like you're sinking rather than swimming a lot of the times, because Pisces rules the ocean. And so, in 2015, I had recently, just prior to that, had a stroke. I was doing better than a lot of people do after a stroke, but I still was very confused and unmoored even, and it was hard for me to focus. So I was trying to figure out what my next book was going to be, because I had written the one book and self-published it in 2011, but I was just really confused about exactly what the topic was going to be for my next book, when all of a sudden, out of the blue, I got a phone call at the end of 2015 from an editor back east asking me to write a book about the moon. And all of a sudden, it all started to come together. So then I've been writing this book, and it's, you know, going to come out in June, but it was just a matter of going on faith. And so that's really what Pisces eclipses are about, is not figuring things out logically. The more I tried to figure out what this book was going to be about, the more frustrated I got. Finally, I just let it go. I released it, and I got this phone call. So this is how spirit works. If we surrender to spirit and we say, okay, you know better than I do, send me whatever I need here, then often that will happen. And so that's basically that two-year period for me where I finally emerged from under the sea, so to speak, and began to find my footing and feel as if I'm moving forward.
You describe astrological charts as being a map of the heavens at the time of your birth. For those of our listeners just starting their path in astrology, can you tell them more about this?
Well, astrologers believe that we actually chose to come in to this life, time, and place in which the planets best describe our path in this lifetime, what we're working on, what our strengths are, our weaknesses, where we've been, where we're headed, and that's what the natal chart, the birth map, which is that snapshot of the heavens at the moment that you were born, which is why it's so important, if possible, to find out your time of birth. Not everyone knows that, and it is possible to read a chart without knowing the time. We just cast the chart for around dawn. But if you have the time, then you have something so specific, it's like a thumbprint. It's unique to you. However, let's just say there is always the possibility that someone else was born at the exact date, time, and place that you were, right? But they're not you. You will find a lot of similarities, and just like with twins, you find tremendous similarities, and yet the great mystery is each of you has a separate soul, and that means that your life path is unique and that your choices, your free will, and as well as your past life experiences will color your experience of life, and that will be different from someone else who's born exactly the same time you are. So that's where it becomes fun. It's not, life is not fated, although I do believe that it's possible that certain events, certain major life events may be fated. And by that, generally speaking, that means that you chose it before you were born. It's like you said to yourself, okay, I think it'll be important for me to learn such and such a lesson. So how about during my Saturn return, which is a really important cycle that happens at the around the age of 29 or 30, how about that I lose my father at that time, who I was very, very attached to, and that will teach me certain lessons that I need to learn about loss and standing on my own two feet. And so I do think it's possible that certain events are fated, but I also think there's a lot of room for choice and free will. So that's why I practice Western astrology rather than medieval astrology or Vedic astrology, which tend to be a little bit more fate-oriented. So that's it in a nutshell.
For our listeners, how would you explain a solar eclipse? And what is its influence on our unconscious?
Well, a solar eclipse occurs when the moon passes between the Earth and the Sun, which means that it then either totally or partially obscures the image of the Sun for us on Earth by blocking direct sunlight. And in the case of a total solar eclipse, which we will be having on August 21st, and that's a fairly rare event. There will be parts of the world in which the sky will literally turn dark. And in the ancient times, people would observe these events, and they found them to be omens, you know, like the king will die, or some major event was often associated with particularly a total solar eclipse. And so that, but some of them are partial, also called annular. And the February 26th solar eclipse was indeed annular. And that doesn't mean that it's any less important, but it's just that the total solar eclipses are the really dramatic ones. And this upcoming August 21st eclipse, by the way, will be the first total solar eclipse visible from the U.S. since the solar eclipse of July 11th, 1991, and the first visible from the continental U.S. since 1979. And it, for those who feel like they're up for a road trip, the longest duration of totality of the eclipse will be a little over 2 minutes, and that's in Shawnee National Forest, just south of Carbondale, Illinois. So, at any rate, you don't have to be witnessing the eclipse, though, to feel its effects. And especially if it hits a point in your chart that is extremely sensitive, there are bound to be some big, big changes. In fact, the August 21st eclipse is falling within 1 degree of Donald Trump's ascendant. So this is a sign of a major, major change in his life. The ascendant, also known as the rising sign, is it represents your physical self, your persona, how you present yourself to the world. It can be your body, literally. And to have a total solar eclipse on the ascendant is a little bit intense. And as you mentioned, it is related to activating the unconscious part of ourselves. Eclipses tend to do that. So how this manifests in Trump's life remains to be seen, but I think that we can expect sometime around that eclipse, either just prior or just after, or who knows, maybe right on that day, some really major, major changes to happen in his life. And basically for anybody who has planets or angles around 28 degrees of Leo, which is where the next eclipse is going to be. And the next solar eclipse is a north node eclipse, which means it is more about moving into something new, as opposed to the one we just had in February that was more about ending something old. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it definitely does. So on February 25th, we had a Pisces solar eclipse. What did this mean in terms of mental health?
Well, that was the 26th of February, and Pisces is associated with, it's the last sign of the zodiac, and it's associated with what we call the 12th house or of the unconscious mind in the natal chart. And it is ruled by the planet Neptune. So this February 26th eclipse was actually conjunct Neptune, which is traveling through its own sign of Pisces right now. So that was a major activation of the subconscious mind. Now, the subconscious mind, some people say, actually controls up to 95% of our thoughts, our activities, our lives, which is why it's so important to pay attention to your dream life. And some of you may have been experiencing around that eclipse or since then some very intense dreams. Whether that be, you know, dreams at night, or for me, I've been experiencing waking up in the morning and suddenly having a question answered, you know, just like I'm giving a talk in September around on the moon here locally, and I was trying to figure out exactly which angle to take on giving that talk, and all of a sudden, yesterday, I woke up from not a dream so much, but they call it a hypnagogic state that you're in either just prior to falling asleep or just when you're waking up from sleep, and it's a very Neptunian, flowy space, like floating in the ocean, and it suddenly came to me, the dark side of the moon. And so that's going to be my topic for our local astrological society in September for my talk on the moon. And the dark side of the moon is actually kind of a myth. There are, you know, the back side of the moon, which we never see, is not literally dark, but it is unknown to us, you know. And I could go on and on about that, but that may not be germane to what we're talking about today. But basically, pay attention to your dreams and, you know, especially while the sun is still in Pisces, which it moves into Aries at the equinox, the spring, well, in the northern hemisphere, it's the spring equinox on the 20th of March. So between now and the 20th, we're swimming in this Piscean Sea. In fact, if you live near an ocean or a river, it would be a really, really good time to spend time there. This can awaken parts of your subconscious. It can be either very calming or in some cases it can actually be disturbing. In my latest blog on my website, I just wrote an essay about the upcoming full moon, which is on, March 12th. And that's a full moon in Virgo, and a full moon means when the moon is opposite the sun. So the sun's still in Pisces, which is water, and the moon's in Virgo, which is earth. And the moon in Virgo is about fixing things, improving things, healing things. So my essay is about healing our waters. And so between the river, state of the rivers and the ocean right now, there is some improvement happening, but basically we're in kind of a dire state, and it does reflect on our own collective emotional state, which is rather confused and toxic, and, you know, most of us, as I say in my essay, you can go read it if you want to know more, but basically, we're all taught to repress our feelings and to not express our weakness or our vulnerability. So what happens to those feelings? They get stuck in our bodies, and they create all kinds of physical and emotional problems for us. And then they show up on the external, because the waters of the world relate to our emotional waters, as toxicity and, you know, plastic in the deepest part of the ocean and, you know, Fukushima still spewing radiation 6 years after it blew. So anyway, you got to stop me here. I could go on and on about this.
Does the fact of a new moon being the moon eclipsing the sun have any meaning for our life?
Well, new moons in general are a really good time to make a fresh start in some area of your life. And you can either, you know, choose that intuitively, or you can look at your chart or have an astrologer look at your chart and tell you what house and or what planets may be getting triggered by the new moon. The new moon, for those that don't know, is when the sun and the moon join in the heavens. And most new moons are not eclipses. Eclipses do happen about twice a year, new moon eclipses. And that just makes for a much stronger new moon than usual. So if you have, for instance, especially if you happen to have a new moon within a day or two of your birthday, oh, my goodness. And if it's a solar eclipse, around your birthday, that even more so indicates that big, big changes are ahead for you in the coming year, and that business as usual is just not, going to happen for you in that coming year.
This Pisces New Moon solar eclipse was also conjunct Neptune, Pisces' ruling planet. For our planet, can you please explain what a ruling planet is and how does this affect our lives at the time?
Sure. In astrology, each planet is associated with a sign. Now, Neptune was only discovered, I can't remember the exact year, but I believe it was in the second half of the 1700s. And the ancient astrologers didn't even know that Neptune existed. But once it was discovered, astrologers did start little by little exploring it and working with it. In the old days, Jupiter was considered the ruler of Pisces. But since the late 1700s, when Neptune was discovered, Neptune also, at least by Western or modern astrologers, has been considered as the ruler or having dominion over the sign of Pisces, because those energies have commonalities. At the time that Neptune was discovered, that was also when oil was coming into prominence as fuel. And oil is one of the things ruled by Neptune. Along with waters, it's also oil. And so there are other commonalities between the symbology of Neptune and of Pisces, which is why we say that those two are connected or that Neptune rules Pisces. Was there another?
You mentioned the importance. Yes, you mentioned the importance of finding the house where these eclipses fell on our chart. If one would like to know what this might have meant for us specifically, can you please tell our listeners how this is done?
Well, you might have to consult an astrologer if you really know nothing whatsoever about your chart, or you can go to astro.com or Cafe Astrology or one of those online sites, and you can pull up a copy of your chart, which is really easy and in most cases free to do. And then you would have to figure out by looking at your chart where the ninth degree of Pisces fall. Like, let's say your ascendant is 22 degrees Pisces. Well, that means the ninth degree is in your 12th house, just prior to the ascendant. Or let's say your fourth house cusp, which these things are labeled on, at these sites. And in some cases, they may have some sort of a function that helps you to figure it out without, knowing how to do it yourself. But let's just say then that 9 degrees Pisces falls in your fourth house or in your, in some other area of your chart, depending on the house cusp. See, this is where it's hard for me to describe this or explain this to people without seeing it, particularly if you're new to this. But if you've been around the block with astrology and you know a little something about your chart, then just simply look to where 9 degrees Pisces falls, and that's the house of main activation, and all the things associated with that house are going to be up for you right now.
At the same time this eclipse was happening, Mars ganged up with Uranus. What does this influence mean?
Well, it was more important right around that time than ongoingly, and the reason is because Mars travels rather quickly, unless it happens to be retrograde, which it is not right now. And so when it comes together with Uranus, which happens every 2 years, there is a very rebellious energy in the air. It can be very nerve-wracking. Mars conjunct Uranus typically is not a good time to travel. And even driving around, it can be, we can be absent-minded. We can get impatient and act rashly under Mars conjunct Uranus. So because that happens to the new moon eclipse, it just made for a very intense time period.
Astrologer Leah Whitehorse called this eclipse at 9 degrees Pisces a collective baptism because it evoked the Sabian symbol of a jockey spurring his horse to victory, advising we surrender to the journey and catch hold of the horse's mane and ride the wave until we're brought back safely to land, washed clean, and sanctified by the great waters of life. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, the reason that I included that quote in my essay about the Pisces solar eclipse is obviously because I resonated with it. The Sabian symbols are a wonderful collection of images that were actually channeled back in the 1920s here in San Diego in Balboa Park by a woman who was gifted with this sort of thing and a man who jotted down all the images that she came up with for each degree of each sign. And so the degree for that particular eclipse had to do with this jockey spurring his horse to victory. So there is this very sort of intense feeling of we've got to get on with it. And that's often the case with a south node eclipse. It's like the last gasp of the energy. And with Pisces, we can fool ourselves. It's a place of addiction. It's a place of unconsciousness. So when an eclipse hits a Pisces point, particularly, or house in your chart, there may be a way in which you're awakening from a trance or a stupor, and all of a sudden you're on that horse and you're pushing yourself to victory. And the term she used, collective baptism, I think is also really, really important because a baptism, of course, is a Piscean event. It has to do with water, and Pisces is very spiritually oriented, or can be. And so collectively, we're being put through this baptism. And in this case, not by fire, more like by water, to gain control over our deep inner emotional selves, not control in the sense of repressing them, but tapping into them, our inspiration, our sense of connectedness to the whole. Look at how people are coming together, at least here in the U.S., to support charitable organizations and to march in the streets and to really help one another during this very difficult time, in my opinion, that we are facing in this country. And I think this eclipse had something to do with spurring people on to that.
In your experience, what can you tell us about Neptune and its quest for redemption?
Well, because Neptune is associated with Pisces, both of those energies are very much about redemption, which to me, redemption just means redeeming parts of ourselves that have been lost. I don't think of redemption in the religious sense that we have to be redeemed from our sins or something of that nature. It's more like redeeming our original innocence, if anything. And so I think that's what Neptune and Pisces have to do with. If people want to know more about that, read Liz Green's book on Neptune. I can't remember the exact title, but it's got Neptune in it. And she wrote that it's a big fat book. It's really intense reading, but Liz Green is one of the premier astrologers. She's a British astrologer. And she wrote this book some years ago, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago. But it is the definitive book on Neptune if you want to know more about that planet.
Thank you very much for being with us today, Simone. It has been a very enlightening experience, and we really hope to be able to have you again soon, maybe talking to us about the new book that will be coming out soon this year.
Great.
So your new book is called Moon Power, Lunar Rituals for Connecting with Your Inner Goddess, and it will be published in June this year. So
I wish you
all the best on publishing this book, and yes?
I just wanted to say that the book is available now for pre-order on Amazon.com. If you just search for Moon Power, you'll find it. You can also go to my website at astroalchemy.com and sign up to be on my list to get my blogs, which I write bi-monthly, and then you'll be notified when the book actually is available.
Thank you very much, Simone. We really wish the best for you, for your path, and for your upcoming book.
Thank you. It's been wonderful being with you.
Thank you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye.